Hello and welcome to Cast of Thrones, the Game of Thrones podcast. This week, episode 2 of season 3, Dark Wings, Dark Words. I am Michael Thrifty Nerd Tomorrow, and with me is Tim Lanning.
Hey everybody, it's great to be here.
And Jennifer Cheek.
Hey everyone, I'm happier than a Tyrion in a whorehouse to be here.
And Nick Bristow, I'm nervous.
Is it Dark Wings, Dark Words, the theme of Darkwing Duck?
Darkwing, yes. Dark Words.
Yeah, I think that's right.
No trouble find you.
That's his house motto.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's on his sigil?
That's going to be on a shirt punch in like 6 hours.
Yeah, someone's going to for sure.
Or it was
They're
on
gonna
it a year ago.
Steal it from us without this actually having been published yet.
Mm-hmm.
They're in our brains.
They're like, man, that half bit, maybe more like a quarter of a bit, that's gold. I'm going shirt punch with this.
Slap it on her shirt and sell it for $12.
I personally just bought a House Manderly pie shirt. Which
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Why did you not tell me that existed so I could buy matching ones so we could be creepy in public?
I wanted to surprise you.
Oh.
For book readers of book 5 that somehow know how to pay in-depth, insane attention. There's some humor to be found there. Anyways, hello!
Hey!
Hey!
Hi. Guys, what a great episode.
How much better was this episode than last week's episode?
Like, a lot
better.
I only hated, like, one part of this episode.
Yeah. Not that last week's episode was not good. It was. It was just kind of a, let's get back into the swing of things, and we have to remind everyone who everyone
now,
is.
Oh, like, I have kind of strong opinions about this. Basically, this should have been, they should have done a 2-hour premiere with both of these episodes back to back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Truth. That's why Lost did it, because Lost always had, like, the worst first episodes, besides the very first one.
The very first one was very good.
But, like, season 3 was terrible, but they gave you 2 of them, I think. I don't remember.
Now, my wife, who is a non-book reader, said that this was basically her favorite episode so far.
Wow.
Of all of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think certain themes appeal to her particularly.
Oh, like the Tyrion with the prostitutes and stuff?
No.
And how she hates gay people? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Your wife.
I think it was more of all the, like, all the different, like, sort of strong and interesting women characters.
There were a lot.
And, like, from all different, angles.
Yeah. It's weird to think about.
Yeah, I think this would be a good episode for people who, for women who are skeptical of the series, this would be a good one to start off with. Although that would also be very confusing, so maybe don't start season 3.
Yeah, I was super drawn to, like, the reads too.
Yes,
like,
oh, that's so good.
I can't wait.
I've been doing an informal poll. I have a few co-workers who watch the show and who don't read the books, and every Monday morning I come in and be like, "Hey, what'd you think?"
Shout out to Squeak.
What? All right. Anyway, they didn't seem super impressed with this episode. And I was,
really?
Yeah, and when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know, that kind of makes sense in a way, because there were a lot of things I was very excited about, but, like, there's some things that kind of happen that if you haven't read the books, maybe you don't understand why they're cool yet. So that's a thing.
Of course, I'm sitting there the whole time going, well, this is what this happened. And, you know, my wife she basically wants to stab me.
She's like, shut up. Like,
don't trust that guy. Don't trust that guy.
Yeah.
Don't
trust there was a lot of like, are these good guys or are these bad guys? And there are, me going,
there are no good guys and there are no bad guys in Game of Thrones. There's only guys.
Only men.
They're only men, and they're all bad.
Well, it's basically like, are they going to get murdered instantly or not murdered instantly?
Yeah. I've been hurt before. Am I allowed to fall in love with this sweet-talking Thoros character?
The answer is no.
She's like, are these like just a band of ruffians? Like, no, honey, they all have names.
They're all named ruffians.
Huge backstories.
Yeah. Why did they not go into Anne Guy's backstory?
Oh, my God.
Zero stars.
That's what I wrote on Yelp.
I was very happy with this episode.
I loved it.
A lot of fist pumping going on in our house. A lot of me yelling and probably annoying Tim. But
to be fair, there's usually fist pumping going on at your house.
Everything.
You guys are just bros.
Like, did you get the mail? Yes.
Got it.
Dishes, bro.
I'm very excited about life.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fist pump through life. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, that's my house words.
Positivity. Anyway. So John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's talking with John's up beyond the wall,
mm-hmm.
hanging out with them wildlings.
Like he does talking, now.
He's talking to Mance.
Yeah.
Talking to Mance in the pants.
Can we just say that John is the one character they probably could have skipped this episode and gotten. Only, we could have.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they just want to be like wargs.
I feel like that is the only reason why.
Right.
That this is happening. So they can be like, oh my gosh, it's the warg. And also so Ygritte can be like, haha, Jon Snow, you're so stupid.
They actually probably could have skipped Tyrion, too.
They could.
Yeah, oh yeah, Tyrion was thrown in there because Tyrion probably has a thing in his contract that's like, I must be in every episode.
Also, people would freak out if Tyrion wasn't in an episode.
True.
Because they love him.
So, yeah, the reason I want to talk about this, about Jon first, is this is the first time that we get, like, concrete evidence that what the kids are doing is something that is known, and it is a thing.
Yeah,
the
war that's true. Game.
Yeah, for sure.
And apparently very common north of the wall, because Ygritte's like, what? You haven't seen a warg before? You idiot.
Yeah. Everyone knows that. But I don't think they ever describe in the books that, like, they go all, like, you know, their eyes roll back in their head.
Yeah. It was really cool looking, though.
I'm into that, but it's kind of strange, this whole concept of, here's this guy that's gonna roll his eyes back, and he's basically just gonna teach you that warging exists so that when we jump over to Bran,
it's
gonna be so kooky, which,
yeah.
And the book, this happens essentially to explain that Jon's dreams he's having are not that crazy, which is almost an interesting concept because we don't have much of an inkling that Jon can do it at all in the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But we do, I mean, is it
Corin Halfhand does, though.
Yeah. Or it's like, it's definitely mentioned.
Yeah.
But it's not focused on as much as it is for Bran. Now here's the thing I was just thinking. North of the Wall, the wildlings, they know about wargs, they've got giants and mammoths and, like, all kinds of stuff. No one really knows about wargs south of the wall. Do you think it's just that there's more magical people?
I think we have the answer to this, and
do you have the answer?
If we can't say why Tyrion is good at backflipping, we technically can't say this, it's just an explanation.
I don't know.
Wondering it.
I don't know this for a fact, so I'm just gonna throw that. I thought, like, the southern people, like, they, like, shunned it.
Is it that they're choosing not to, or is there, like, some shit going on?
Let's put it this way. Melisandre explains it in two separate ways.
Okay. Well, let's not talk about it again now.
Yeah. All right.
I just want to put
into it in spoiler time.
I just want to put the thought out there for people.
Yeah.
In a not spoilery way.
Well, it even from the episode, it seems like everything beyond the wall, they embrace magic and they embrace all the mystery and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obviously midichlorians.
Oh, yeah.
They have to, if they don't explain it with science, then, you know, how can I believe any of it?
Yeah, my brain almost went to, like, oh, I can say this because this is what's going, this is like the mechanics of the world. I'm like, oh, wait, some people enjoy the mystery of it all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh, I am dumb. Let us move.
Let us move on.
The only other thing that was kind of interesting was the way that Mance got everyone, got all these crazy wildlings together who all hate each other's guts and try to kill each other.
Yeah, it's a real rock, paper, scissors situation going on where one group hates one, that group hates another, and then that other group hates everyone.
Yeah, everyone hates them, the cave people.
Oh, yeah.
With them. Are they
the cave people in the book? Just like fucking cave people?
I don't even remember.
Well, there's the people from Skagos, and those are the cannibals.
Yeah.
Then you got the Thins. The Thins are the closest thing to, like, a society up there.
Yeah. Right,
they, like,
they're more organized. Yeah.
But everyone else is just kind of like, the ones that are, like, up and to the left are the crazy ones.
Yeah.
That aren't the non-crazy cannibal ones. Skagos and Nyland.
And the only way that he convinced them that they needed to work together is because, like, hey, if you don't, you're gonna die. Because
you've
got to move south. Mm-hmm.
And I think what we're supposed to get that as is, like, this is the only time that it's been said, and it's bad enough that people actually believe it.
Yeah.
So I think
they have some sort of a point.
Yeah.
They know the whites are there, and they've seen them. They're obviously running from them. So yeah, it's like, you know, not only are they like, you're going to die, but they're like, oh, yeah, we know we're going to die. We've been getting killed. Like, yeah, this sucks.
Has been actively happening.
And we've if any scout is that, is Ygritte is essentially a scout or a... Yeah.
She's a spear wife.
Whatever you put, whoever the people are in the front of your armies where you're not moving, I guess they're scouts. I don't know.
I'm going to go with horses.
It's whoever the Blackfish led.
The Vanguard? Is that
what you're saying? That's not quite the Vanguard.
That's on the side. That's different.
Anyways, if just a normal soldier like her knows, you should probably burn me. This is a bad deal.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta...
Yeah.
You know, this probably has nothing to do with anything, but when I saw his white eyes, I was like, oh, he looks like a white. Like, yeah. Ooh. Well, I wonder if that has anything.
He needs that hot blue action going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It just reminded me of it.
And this is a storm, but let's not get into that.
Oh, that is a different fandom.
I do think it's interesting that they took this character and they're like, all right, you're going to take the place of, you're going to be yourself. And then you're also going to be this other person.
They merged.
And then you're also going to be alive.
Yeah.
And
all these other things going on.
Yeah, yeah, I think though with the eye thing, I think like, you know, if he was just like laying there with his eyes closed, it wouldn't make sense cinematically.
Is he sleeping?
Thing.
Is he sleeping like right now? What's going on?
So I think they just had to do something.
He's like, I was just taking a nap. Guys.
It's pretend time. Yeah,
because I think in every other instance of warging that we've seen on the show and our books up to this point, they just like look like they're napping.
Right. Well,
they are sleeping, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's
they're
why
like
he calls them the wolf dreams.
They're basically soulless at that point.
But maybe it's just that like the people we've seen, well, with Bran, he just doesn't know what he's doing. No one's training him. But maybe the wargs up beyond the wall are trained so they can go into it on purpose.
I think it's passed down, really.
I think it just looked real badass. So
and also that looks super badass.
I agree.
Also, you could argue that this guy knows what he's doing, so he doesn't have to pass out. So
exactly.
So heading slightly further south, before we go all the way south, we get a quick scene with Sam.
Mm-hmm. Man, and Sam.
And the real chewed up rest of the crows.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just remembered what happens to Sam this season.
Mm.
Interesting.
Rast is
me
back.
Me too, actually. Oh, man. This would be crazy.
Guys, remember Rast?
Guys, I remember Rast.
He took last Rast. Season off.
Yeah, he wasn't
He's
there.
Back.
He hey was
guys,
there in the first
this.
Season.
Rast isn't on the ranging. 0 stars.
I hate this show.
It's sure it's not.
Stop leaving reviews here. Yelp is for restaurants.
0 stars. No, because Rast, as we all know, was one of the people that stayed behind with Pip.
Man.
Well, it's different in the show.
There's only so many actors they can get.
That's true. And he's the only villain they have left.
At the wall,
at
really.
The wall.
Yeah, there was like no other like hateful person
yeah,
there.
They
just needed
Elijah
someone
Thorne.
To like yell at Sam and call him fat.
Yeah.
And Sam is being so annoying, though. God,
yeah.
Sam, stop.
You left me.
Like, yeah. Man, Dolores Ed for the win right here, because he's like, yeah, we did leave you because you're slow and fat and I didn't want to die.
He makes a good point.
Yeah. Grin looked at him like, why'd you say that? And Dolores Ed just like shrugged her shoulder like, what?
What?
It's true. I mean, I get it. Like, Sam has said several times that he's a coward and that he doesn't deal well with these things. So, like, he's having... And he, like, grew up at a castle. Like, he's not used to this stuff. So, he's having a hard time. I get that.
And he has guilt, we have to assume, too.
So...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He didn't send the birds, which is kind of dumb.
Which... I'm sorry, can we just say that's not what went down?
Yeah, we said that last week.
He's a lot less incompetent in the book. I'm kind of annoyed right now with how they're portraying him.
I think he, like, really pulls it together at that moment and sends off the birds in the book.
He does. Like, in the books, he's still, like, kind of a coward, but he's smart. And
well, John makes that joke in the beginning-ish of book two, where Sam's the only one getting less scared.
Right.
Exactly. Further they go into.
So I don't.
Sam is very scared at first, and then he gets beyond the wall, and it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And he actually.
It's essentially just the show flattening people.
Yeah.
They don't have enough time.
But they don't flatten all the characters. They're really.
They flatten Catelyn, Sam, and then.
But other characters, like Margaery, they bring out. As
true.
Like a very well-rounded character.
Well, it's Margaery and Theon.
That was a boob joke.
It was not a boob joke, nice. But now it is a boob joke.
I mean, Marjorie Tyrell and Theon Greyjoy were characters that kind of have a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff in the book. And the show so far has just been playing them so much awesome.
So good. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to, like, really build up a thing for Sam where it's like, look how dumb he is. And then maybe he'll do something cool later.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to, like, have more of a contrast.
Or Ghost will jump out and help him.
So basically, yeah. Mormont is like, Sam, you're not going to die. I forbid you to die. And Rast, you're going to make sure he doesn't die. If he doesn't come back, you don't come back. And then Rass is like, I'm not dying for you, Sam.
Classic.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to test Mormont on that, because Mormont, he would totally kill somebody, like, for sure.
Can we just point out how big of a cloak that Rast has?
Yeah, what's up with that?
It was so completely distracting to me.
Do you guys, okay, I know they're movie props, but I bet they still smell bad.
Oh, man.
They look like they smell bad.
I bet it's comfy as hell, though, you guys. God.
It's probably very warm and soft, but smells like a wolf asshole.
And probably has lice and bugs in there.
It looked like what I'm about to do later tonight when I drape this sheet over my shoulder. It was that big.
Because I just want to walk around like that. Like, let's get my comforter and just, like, walk around. Like, look at my cloak. And everyone's like, look at that girl with her comforter.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to ride the T.
You should, get a wolfskin pelt.
Uh-huh.
Or a coat.
I kind of have one.
Cloak. And then wear it in the harsh winters of Boston.
There we go.
Okay, done.
And then people will be like, whoa, that's ridiculous. And then you'll be like, I'm fucking warm. And they'll be like, all
right,
you win.
You're right.
Guys,
that was great.
It is way too cold here. Should we go?
Let's hop the wall.
And go man.
Ever slightly more south.
To a group of people heading to the wall.
Right.
Yeah.
They're converging, really.
So this is actually where the show opens up with Bran in obviously in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Who's to say?
Because he's walking, guys.
He's walking. Also, he's 24 years old.
It's really weird that between the time he left the castle and now he's hit puberty like real hard.
He's all, hey, I'm Bran.
He really went through the fires and he emerges the other end of a man grown.
Guys, what if he's Sansa Stark tall?
Oh,
next season.
I would love it.
They're going to have to literally cut his legs off.
Like, sorry, man. This is how it works.
I think we've made this joke before, but they're going to have to go
have a contract.
Full on dwarf on this whole thing.
Do you think they're going to tie his legs together so he can't use them?
They're going to bind them. They're going to bind his legs together.
But leg binding, not feet binding.
Exactly. Just entire leg. Anyway, Bran's in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
He's still really bad at archery, you guys.
I loved that they redid this scene.
Yeah,
and it looked
was great.
Almost exactly as I remembered it.
Mm-hmm. Except they were all, well, Bran was way taller.
Yeah.
And also, Ned was not there. He just had the voice. I was like, man, can't get Sean Bean back, right?
Part of
he
me
was
wanted.
Sort of talking from the trees ish.
Yeah. Huh.
From that's the first season.
It part would, of me would, so hard so. Wanted them to, like, make the leaves pull on a full-on Mufasa face.
Oh, my God!
And just be like, could you imagine, like, a tree face of Sean Bean being like, I'm proud of you, Brandon.
Brandon.
And then the tree gets cut down, because that's how every Sean Bean thing ends.
Sadness. Man, that would have been great. Yeah.
And then Bran wakes up and
he's trying to kill the three-eyed crow.
And he can't because
and there's a visitor in his
dream. He can't for two reasons, mostly because he's a shitty archer.
He's so bad at it.
he gets a visitor. Who's this weird guy?
It's Sam from Love Actually / Ferb.
No, it's Ferb. Yeah, Ferb.
I don't know what Ferb is.
What is a Ferb?
He's the kid who makes a fool of himself or something.
No, it's Phineas and Ferb.
He's in that show. He does a voice.
He's on that show, Phineas and Ferb. And Ferb only says one line on every episode.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How much
is that guy's voice?
Is it Britishy?
Yeah.
Well, the dad is British and the mom is American.
Is he?
Tell me more.
Phineas is American. Ferb is British.
What is Ferb?
What is Ferb?
He's a kid. He's a kid with green hair.
Why does he only say one thing?
And who's Ferb's sister? Mira?
I feel like you've really broken Tim's brain with this Phineas and Ferb situation right now.
He's a kid who makes, like, amazing things.
Wait, hold on. Is he like a Silent Bob thing where he says one thing an episode, but it's really deep?
Yes, it's exactly what he is.
I'm fucking confused now.
So basically, he is Ferb, because he's got he's dropping some real knowledge on Bran here. But he's talking more than Ferb. And he tells Bran that... Wait, is this where he tells him? I'm getting things mixed up.
Is this where he tells him you can't kill it?
Yeah, because it's you.
Wait, in the dream?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't tell him in the dream. He tells him, like, later.
No, for this time it says you can't kill him because it's you.
Yeah.
In the dream.
Guys, can we just talk about how awesomely creepy this actor is?
His
little creepy face. Fantastic.
Honestly, like, the whole Jojen Mira Reed thing in this episode was the fucking best.
Oh yeah, my man. God, they nailed these two so hard.
Like 100% perfect.
Okay, so let's leave the dream. Let's talk about their introduction.
So Osha, like, hears something.
Yeah.
And, like, trots
she,
off.
No, she, like, crab walks off. She's, like, she's 3 feet off the ground, you know, a maximum, and she is, like, hopping from leg to leg, like, running off into the woods. Like, the weirdest run I've ever seen.
You got to stay low.
Mm-hmm. And Summer is just, like, freaking out.
Yeah,
like,
and Summer snarling. Looks a lot lighter than I remembered.
Yeah, well, because they used real dogs in the first season, that's why.
Well, these are real dogs, they're just made bigger.
Yeah, I think it's just camera. They're just closer to the camera.
I do think he looks a little bit lighter, too. I think I noticed that. They're probably trying to differentiate each of the dogs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what... I mean, Shaggy Dog is, like, black, though, so I don't know what's up.
Which is correct.
Anyway. I don't care. Was Shaggy Dog in this episode?
No.
Yeah.
Really? Where?
I thought he was there for a second.
The thing is, like, Shaggy Dog and fucking Rickon is just, like, the whole time. And then...
at one point, Rickon runs off.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
The one part with Rickon is, like...
After him.
Yeah, there's Rickon, and then he just bolts, and they're like, he's fine.
Yeah,
he does this.
Yeah, why... What was that?
He's feral. They're just, like, letting one know.
And why is, like... He's gonna get lost.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Something.
Yeah.
This was silly. It's not like they stopped and they were like at camp and he was running around. They were just like, let's keep going. Yeah, he was going to run off of the woods.
And what was so awesome to the left?
Nothing. He's a real weird kid.
Really weird. He saw something.
You
so
guys,
then the
you
dream boy walks broken. Out, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Asha's like, got you.
Got your ass.
Because she crab walked.
She crab walked. Right. With her bow and arrow. Or
spear.
Her spear, you're right. And he's all like, I'm not armed. And she's like, yeah, that was your mistake. But then she got by Mira.
Mm-hmm. And he's all, my sister carries the weapon.
She's like, yeah, dude, look at all my weapons. I have a bow and I also have this dagger and probably some other things.
Maybe a frog spear. Who's
frog spear.
Maybe
frog
several spear. Frog spears.
That's for hunting frogs. Yeah, so she basically backs off, and Wilding Tonks is like, you know, if you kill me, that wolf's gonna tear you apart.
And then Jojen's like,
oh, this is Summer.
What if not? And he puts his hand out like he wants Summer to kiss his little hand.
His little signet ring.
No,
he, like, literally does the like kiss my hand thing.
And that's Summer's not like, what he's cool. doing. He's have you never seen that with dogs that are like slightly grace up?
You let him smell your signet ring.
Yeah,
you look away and very timidly let him get your scent so they know you're not.
He doesn't do it palm up, he does it palm down as
no.
he's my ring.
He's like,
no, that's
Pope.
The way you do it. You don't do it palm up, you do it palm down.
I don't know anything about dogs, apparently. How have I not gotten my hand bitten off?
Because it's less aggressive that way.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, that Harry Potter with the buck beak, I feel like that's how that happened there, too.
Thank you. That's where I learned all my dog training tips and tricks.
I feel like he should have said, this is not the day that I die.
Yes.
Oh, right. Well, we should talk about that in Spoiler Town, because I want to talk more about these kids.
These dudes. They're awesome. I love them.
And they very quickly
I
are like...
I that Jojen could be a little more... sickly, because I think this Jojen's awesome, but he doesn't really carry the sense of like I am sad with my visions. He's more like I'm a pimp.
This Jojen is also 23 years old.
Yeah. He's 23.
He's 23. He's 2 years younger than me. That's crazy.
Huh.
He definitely plays young.
He plays young. But Jojen in the books is like 13.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's aged up.
Bran is like 8, and he's obviously like 22 in this episode.
At place. He was like 12 in the last episode, but 22 now.
They make friends, and
they make friends very quickly.
I feel like this is where people who are not book readers need some help. Unlike who the hell these people are.
Yeah.
Who can help them out?
So Jojo and Mira are the children of Howlin Reed. Howlin Reed is the Lord of Greywater Watch, and he is Ned Stark's bannerman and also like BFF from the war.
Greywater Watch is like this bizarre like castle that's out in the swamps.
Yeah.
They're like the very end, the very southernest part of the north, and it's like the castle like floats or something crazy.
Yeah, it's like in the swampland, so
no one knows where it is.
Yeah, they say you have to know where it is to go.
Like different theories, but it's just like they don't know where it is. And whenever you go there, the Kronogmen, which are the people that live there, shoot you with like poison arrows.
Yeah,
and then you get attacked by alligators, aka lizard lions.
Oh yeah, I forgot about lizard lions.
Okay, so because obviously, they're not going to introduce them the way they were supposed to. Can we say how they get introduced in the book?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they came in. Yep. They should have been there last season.
Right.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be heading to Winterfell to pledge their allegiance to the Starks when everybody was, like, when he was calling all the banners. And Jojen and Mira were sent as, like, not wards, but like as kind of messengers.
Yeah, from Howlin to bring the good news. Man, I've got your back.
Yeah, I don't bring any soldiers, but whatever. Here's my children, I guess.
Yeah, we're with you. Yeah, they're basically like our father sends us, and we're with you. And then they kind of hang out at the castle last season, and then they hide with Bran and Rickon and Wilding Tonks and Hodor.
Yeah, and everything that Asha is doing last season is what Jojen does.
Yeah, although where Bran's talking about like the dreams and stuff, that was Jojen.
Right.
And so I'm sure it is like really weird watching it if you don't like know what's going on.
Oh yeah.
Why are these random people just showing up in the
woods? They've also never explained the Tower of Joy.
No.
So that's a weird thing that might get brought up later, but I doubt it.
I mean, I wouldn't talk about it.
I think that we can say that Howlin Reed was not only Ned Stark's like best friend, but like, I mean, they say he saved Ned's life.
Right. Oh, and they had that really cool line where Jojen's like, oh, my dad never told me about it, but I saw it.
Yeah, so he knows.
Oh, because he explains also that all the dreams and stuff are visions of the present, far away, or the future, or the past.
Yeah.
And that Bran is a warg, and the three-eyed crow is not that.
And can we also just say, because there was some major confusion about Jojen and Bran, and Jojen is not a warg.
Correct.
But a lot of people, I was like reading reviews today, and a lot of people think he was, and when I was watching it the first time, I watched the episode twice, I thought they were making it out like Jojen was a warg too, but they actually don't say that. They just say that they both have the sight.
Yeah.
They have the dreams, but Jojen is not a warg.
Yeah. Jojen's a green seer.
A green seer.
They may never say green seer. They might just say seer to make it simple. And that's what a little bit of what Bran has too.
Yeah, but Bran is also a warg.
Correct.
Where Jojen is not. So just to clarify that.
Also, according to Jojen, Bran is the most important person.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever.
I thought they're gonna kiss. The way that they never have him blink, and since he's always looking down at him and with like a slight smirk, he does kind of get like,
who is talking about basically them being shipped together?
Oh, that was, I think it was Ashley Shadowbrook on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, you just broke my brain. Of course this is going to happen. I'm about to go read through all the fan fiction sites and watch it pop up.
Okay, before people get confused, for the non-fandom people like I used to be back when I was happy, shipping is like relationships. It's when fans want two characters to get it
to be
on.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like,
I did not know what that meant.
Yeah.
I thought it meant this is you, the stories you write, but Jennifer cleared that up.
No, shipping is in like, I ship Carol and Daryl on Walking Dead because I want them to get together.
I ship Brienne and Jaime Lannister.
Oh, yeah.
Is all fan fiction about sex?
Yes.
No, but a lot
of
it is.
Yes, all of it is about sex.
When it's done right, it is.
Even the ones not about sex are actually about sex.
No, they're actually because there's like rating systems, and like there are definitely fan fictions that people write that are like, Kate is called K. It's like
Jennifer, you're PG. Embarrassing yourself.
It's completely G rated.
Yeah,
I don't. I've lost all dignity when I started doing a Game of Thrones podcast.
Right.
And a Dungeons and Dragons
podcast. Well, we know that tons of our fans are into fan fiction. Yeah, but I know what tons of our fans are into. Robb Stark.
Oh my god. So into Robb Stark. He's beautiful.
Guys, people are really into Robb Stark.
I'm really into Robb Stark. I looked at a BuzzFeed article today that he was in, and I was like, ugh.
He's so good looking. Why are there so many good looking people in this show? I can't handle it. My hormones but Robb are Stark just is raging. Like
it's HBO. Favorite.
He's everyone's favorite, I think.
It says that beautiful curly auburn hair he's got going on.
He's so good looking.
It made me cry. Tim and I are going to go find him and be like, would you like to be a part of our marriage? We love be you. Married to the both of us.
You can do that in England.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it.
So everything goes to the UK.
He's about to do sex to his
lady wife.
His question.
Oh, where he found out that they're fucking married and they didn't tell us last week.
Well, they got married last season.
Yeah, we saw their wedding.
Did they? I forgot about that completely.
We watched them do the vows to each other, which you know some nerds somewhere are going to like copy that.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to hate them.
Now you ship me death.
Are you kidding me? I seriously do not remember them getting married at all.
Yeah, it was
a whole ceremony.
They tied like ropes around each other's hands. They did like a bite, like a hand bite.
Oh, does that really count? Because it wasn't a Christian wedding, so it probably
doesn't. Oh, no.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't count.
They didn't say Jesus.
So no one in Game of Thrones is married at all.
Well, if they say Jesus.
Jesus doesn't exist in Game of Thrones.
This is a spoiler. Later, when you go across the narrow sea of
Bravos, then you meet Jesus.
You get to see some
Oh my god, what if, like, the end of Game of Thrones, it's all, like, an allegory for Jesus?
George R. R. Martin becomes, like a super Mormon at the end.
Right.
Like Orson Scott Card, and everything is really crazy.
And he retcons it.
His computer. And the end of Game of Thrones is the exact same end of Left Behind.
Oh my god!
Still pretty great.
It's where Kirk Cameron goes crazy.
Then Nikolai Carpathia
is the king of Westeros.
Arya down into the pit of fire.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is there an end to Left Behind? I thought it just went on forever.
No,
there's 7 books! Nick, don't you know anything about the Tribulation?
I think there's like 8 or 9, because... They're the 7.
Roose Bolton shows up. And he's got some real bad news.
Oh, yeah? Hold on. We got to set the scene here. Kat is crying her eyes out over her.
This is when they were still kissing.
They were smooching.
Oh, okay. No, Bolton's coming to Rob. Yes.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. And he's all, I got... some bad news and some worse news.
And I love that Rob tries to make a little joke, and Roose is like, you're wasting my time.
Yeah, man, Roose does not. He's like, God, these stupid people. I hate them so much. This stupid girl. Yeah.
Yeah, then Rob takes the newses, and then he goes to his mom, who's crying weirdly, and not in a cell, weirdly.
Oh, right.
And as a good backdrop to all the other strong women, you have...
Yeah.
Catelyn.
They're doing some weird... I mean, I don't know. Catelyn is a very controversial figure in the Game of Thrones fandom.
I feel like they gave up on her in the show.
I feel like they did too, and
yeah.
I feel like, well...
Well, they kind of... Okay, hold on. They kind of redeem her here, but I think what we really need to look at is what is going through Rob's head, because he's like, oh man, mom's real sad about her dad dying. Well, it can't get much worse.
Might as well tell her about also, hey, maybe your sons are dead.
You're no longer a dad because your sons are dead. How does this work?
Wait, did you say dad?
I thought that they found out last season that their sons were dead.
No. Which is, man, can we also just talk about how this whole Bran and Rickon are dead storyline was so botched on the show. It's like the only thing I think they've really fucked up, and it makes me angry. Because the whole reason that Catelyn lets Jaime go is because she finds out that Bran and Rickon are dead, so she's freaking out, and she's like, the only kids I have left are Rob, who's here, and Sansa and Arya, who are in King's Landing, and this is my only shot, and that's the only reason why she let the Kingslayer go. But she let him go, she just looks like a dummy. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand this.
No, they essentially get... The show has given up on Cat, and it's... She's just there to cry and sit and pretend to be a good mom.
I thought they gave her.
Let's keep talking.
I guess we should put the Karstark thing doesn't really matter. Karstark doesn't think that Rob can win.
Also he calls him out for fucking marrying the Frey, the girl.
Right. Yeah, he's like, yeah, that woman right there, you messed up.
That's when you lost the war.
Now, I sort of felt like they, so Catelyn, we see this scene with Catelyn and she's making this, you know,
a
dream catcher.
Yeah. Right. But it's what like she made for Bran in season one.
Yeah. Right.
I feel like this story, this little thing they did right here, which is a not something from the books, it's something they made up. I feel like this gave her like more depth than she has in the books. Like in the books, she's just like, why is she such a bitch?
Like, yeah. Why does she hate Jon so much? This story just seemed, it did not ring true to me. Like, I watched it last night and I was like, I don't know about that. And then I watched it again tonight and I'm like, hate it. Hate it.
I don't know. Like, well, okay, yeah. So first of all, in the book, she just hates Jon.
She just straight up hates Jon.
But I don't doubt that she wished that he would die. Like, she really hated him.
What we're saying is we just doubt that she feels guilty about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, this isn't a book versus show argument in my mind. The show, Catelyn, doesn't like Jon, and there's already been tons of little bits here and there about how much she can't stand him. Right. And I get the guilt that she had in this story where she's like, yeah, I wanted him to die, and then I wanted him to not die, but then I lied. I appreciated the sort of back and forth.
She's very religious. She's very religious, and
yeah, she is.
She basically talks about like how like she wished this death upon her husband's child, and that's why all this misfortune has happened and come to her family.
Right, which is an interesting twist, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also kind of silly because she's taken it on herself, which is, I guess, is a motherly sort of strength to try to protect her children. But a lot of these issues are from other bad decisions in an evil world, not because she was angry at her bastard child.
Yeah.
I didn't love the selection, but I don't know. Whatever.
Anyway, they decide to, they're all leaving to go to
River. Oh, did we even talk about, so Cal's dad's dead?
Yeah.
That was the first reason she was crying, so they're gonna go to River Run for the funeral, and Rob is gonna leave Roose Bolton behind at Harrenhal.
Yeah. I am thankful that they didn't include Hoster Tully, cause that is some of the worst parts of Catelyn in the book.
There's some interesting stuff from it too, though.
Well, when she's talking to her dad,
like by his deathbed for like 4 years.
Yeah, it's
the okay. Question. Okay, so we never met Catelyn's dad in the show, right?
No.
Correct. Do you think they have to get an actor to play his dead body?
Oh man,
For sure.
All actors who play corpses, come on down.
Can we get an actual corpse? That's my question.
Oh, yeah, you just go down to the corpse store.
Yeah, just buy a corpse.
Like, somebody's will was like, I want to be on Game of Thrones as Catelyn's dead father, and I want them to burn me for real on the show.
When I die, maybe can I donate?
Maybe it's just someone who's real old, and they're like, you're going to go anyway.
Yeah.
We'll give you $100.
Yeah. Like, you can have
suffocate you, and then you can be a corpse in the show.
You can have the time of your life at this whorehouse, and then you gotta die for the show.
And then you're dead. And then you're dead. I want to donate my body to Game of Thrones when I die.
I don't know. I mean, like, if it was like, you can have your fantasy, and then you die for the show, like, I don't know, I'd take him up on it. I might not be old enough.
That's a pretty good contest.
Yeah, who wants to die for Game of Thrones?
But then you won't get to see the end. Role. What if, hold on, let's think about this. You get to read the last two books right now, but then you have to die afterwards.
No.
Yeah. I'd run. I mean, you try to get out of it, but
guys, I like being alive. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. Being alive doesn't even seem like it's worth the wait.
So I guess Rob is gonna leave Bolton here in Harrenhal, and he's gonna go to River Run with Mom.
And he goes to meet his Uncle Edmure.
Yeah, and maybe get some more troops.
Yeah, even though Karstark's like, there's not that many troops there. This is bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a big waste of time.
So we're finally getting to the point where Bolton controls Harrenhal, which happened in the book.
Right.
Yeah, that was, man, so confusing. Because, so last season, when Tywin is holding Harrenhal, that was Bolton.
Yeah, that was Bolton the whole time.
Wait, no, I thought Bolton was after...
Well, for a section.
After Arya freed him.
Yes.
Right,
Arya
yes.
Arya freed the people.
Uh-huh.
The Weasel Soup, and then Bolton was in charge.
Right, right.
And that's when she was the, like,
the steward.
Yeah. The steward, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was
so, like, when she was being steward to Tywin, that was Roose before.
It was supposed to, it should have been Roose.
Yeah.
Right.
But anyway, they hadn't he's there now, set that up
so
yet.
So they made their way there. I don't care about changes like that, because I was mostly just happy to get to see Maisie, what's her last name?
Williams.
And Charles Dance interact with each other, because that was great. So I don't care about that. But now Bolton is in Harrenhal, and all is right with the world.
Probably not of a Westeros. Big deal for people.
Can we
probably not worry about that too much?
Probably not.
Can we take a quick flayed donkey over to see what Theon's doing?
Oh,
the poor donkey! Why'd they do that to him?
Can we? Okay, here's my question for spoiler people: what do we do about Theon? Because
it's in the show.
Can we say that he's not in book three at all?
Or four.
He's not in book three.
Can we say he's not in another book?
Listen,
we can say he's not in book three.
He is not in book three. Like, you are not supposed to know he's alive at this point.
I knew from the previews, or I highly suspected from the previews that he was going to be in it. But, wow, I did not think it would be in the second episode.
Yeah, I'm glad they did, though.
I was like, holy shit, when he came up on the screen. And man, Alfie Allen is killing it. He's so good.
I just want to say, though, I was like, I don't think they're going to stick just to book three on Twitter. And people were like, no, they're going to be book three. And I was like, I don't know.
Take this.
Yeah, I saw people giving you yay about that. And I was like,
I was like, guys, this.
Well, it's not. I mean, this isn't book four stuff. It's stuff that's happening during book three.
It is. You're right. It's not. About it. Right. It's more that.
I still feel like it counts because you don't know about it in book three.
It's a plot line that is spoken of later books.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So, for people who don't really know what's going on here, let's talk about the torturing a little bit. The first torture scene where the guy goes in with the dagger.
Oh, hold on.
To his finger.
Yeah.
I believe he's flaying his finger.
Yeah, he's peeling the skin off of it. That's the sense I got, anyway.
So what's going to happen there is his finger is going to become so infected and painful that it's going to get hurt so much that he's actually going to ask for them to cut it off.
Well, yeah. That might happen. We don't know.
When you flay, I'm just talking about when you flay.
When you flay people.
You're talking from personal experience.
Yeah.
Did someone flay you?
I don't want to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, no.
Guys, can I just go ahead and say flavor flayed?
Oh, get that joke away.
No, that's not even a good, full-form joke.
Flayed or flayed? Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with the foot thing.
Okay. I was trying to figure that out, too. Is he just, like,
what do you mean?
Into his foot? Like,
I think
like
so. Yeah.
It's a drill like bit, and then it's going into his foot.
Did you see how the blood came up through the top of it? Because I did not notice that at first.
Well, yeah, because the way drills work, like, they, like, kind of, like, pull shit up. I don't know.
Guys, I'm looking at the playing article on Wikipedia. Someone stop me.
Why? Don't do that.
Oh, my God. I can't stop it.
That's a penis.
No, it's not.
They're, like, asking him questions, which they clearly don't care about the answers.
Oh, yeah. They're basically like, why did you take Winterfell?
Yeah, and I love is like, what do you want? I try to tell you. He's like, the truth. He's like,
I don't know.
Like, I'll literally tell you anything.
It kind of reminded me of the section with the mountains men. We were just like asking the same questions over and over and over again. Yeah. They don't really care. They just want to terrorize people. And that's basically what's happening with Theon here.
The weird thing is they stop torturing him and he starts to walk away. And then he's like, no, I'll tell you why I wanted it. Because I wanted to hurt the Starks. But they'd already walked away from the torture.
Well, to Theon, the biggest torture is leaving him alone because he's so sad.
He's so sad, and they put had they put the thing? They hadn't put the thing on his head yet.
Well, they originally had
took the bag off his head to start. I think.
Yeah,
he seems to be very not into that bag on his head. Someone, I was reading comments on one of the recaps of, I think on IO9, and someone was talking about how like the sensory deprivation, like that when you're torturing people, that's the thing. Like, they'll put you in a room with no light. And I think it's very disorienting. Like, it really messes you up. So I think that's also what's happening. Wow. Like, in addition to the flaying and the foot screwing, he also is, like, in complete darkness and doesn't know where he is or
and they
what's
throw
going
water on.
On
him. Yucky. Mm.
Yeah.
IO9 forum commenters know a lot about torture.
No, well, they didn't say all that. It's just they're talking about, like, it's sensory deprivation.
Were they Dick Cheney?
No. People on IO9 are very... The recaps on IO9.com are, I think, like, by far the best Game of Thrones recaps. So you should go there.
You heard it here. Cast of Thrones endorses IO9.
Yeah. No, because I really do. I read a lot of them, and I'm like, these are shitty. I could have written these.
you could have.
But the ones on IO9 are actually super good, and they like, bring out
no
things
way,
that
I
haven't...
I could have never done this.
I could have never done this in a million years. I feel so bad about myself.
I'm so dumb. No, they just bring out things I hadn't... like thought about yet, so they're good.
Yeah.
So a guy comes in who's like, I'm from your sister, and like unscrews Theon's foot a little bit and is like, I'll come later.
And he's like, no, don't leave me. This scene was like heartbreaking and made me really impressed.
You mean foot breaking?
Oh.
That didn't make any sense.
A lot of people are not quite ready to
I got a better one.
Theon yet, you guys.
Yeah. I got a better joke. Thrifty, go back and edit this. You mean soul breaking, like the soul?
Soul crushing. I think soul crushing.
Soul crushing. Oh, okay, okay. Go back and edit it again.
Most perfectly
Guys,
crafted joke.
Theon's really screwed.
Oh.
And we're done.
Bye, guys. That was the podcast.
They really nailed him.
Oh, that was good too.
Because they like look like anyways. And Theon has no idea where he is. So,
or why they're holding him.
Yeah, and
who's
I believe
holding
only
him?
The book readers know where he is right now, or very, very, very astute TV show watchers, so we won't spell
we'll
it out.
We'll deal with that later.
It's or all of you if you Thrifty forgot to edit the podcast.
Which is possible.
No, don't be silly.
But yeah, I'm really excited to see what they do here, because I don't know what's going to happen, which is great. I love when the show goes into these weird territories of great stuff, which they've done in the past.
Yeah.
And as a avid book reader and forum troller, it's nice to be in the what's going on zone.
Yeah, it's nice to be surprised sometimes.
Well, it's kind of, it's really interesting, because we kind of, you know, as book readers, we know like where everything's going, but... we never got to see any of this. It's going to be fascinating.
Yep. I'm excited.
Really is.
Kind of excited, but this is also really messed up.
Kind of terrified.
Yeah.
Hey, Brienne and Jaime. Oh.
The ultimate ship.
Brienne, you mean?
Oh, Brienne, sorry.
Yeah, get out of here, you audible.com.
Brienne.
Oh, Brienne. I like Brienne more, even though it doesn't make it as much sense.
No, it doesn't. And Jamawai, Jamai, Patire.
Jaime. Wait, don't some people pronounce Jaime as Jaime?
They could.
And not this country, but yeah.
In Spanish.
I'm pretty sure I know some people named Jaime. Let's call him Jaime.
No.
Brienne and Jaime are taking a nice leisurely stroll.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Jaime being tied up in manacles. He loves it.
And honestly, like Jaime's being a total dick to Brienne for no reason because she's taking him home.
That's true.
Kind of true.
But like, he's also like in like dirty clothes, and she's like dragging him with a rope.
Yeah.
So that's also
clearly
that's
she does
bad.
Not let him stop to pee very often.
Because it was the longest pee in the world.
I love it.
What, do you think she snuck a peek? I think I would have.
She, well, yeah, I mean, it's just
who would it?
It's he's the king.
Like 10 minutes.
It was the longest pee. It's very strong. But he's like all Jamie's doing is trying to throw Brienne off. Like, just enough, like, he's making fun of her, like, trying to ask her, like, intrusive questions. Like, he's all, like, asking her,
yeah.
Like, oh, who are you fighting for? Stannis? And I love her. She goes, gods, no. Ugh, Stannis, gross.
Oh, you're a Renly man, woman.
Yeah, woman.
Yeah. And I think Jaime is probably not using any real strategy other than just being like, I will piss her off.
Yeah,
that's
basically it. Yeah. Like, he's just trying to, like, find whatever it is that sets her off, and like nothing is really working too well. until he starts to talk shit about Renly, and she does not like that at all.
Mm-mm.
But we get, like, probably the best line of this entire show right here, because he talks about how if it's a shame the throne wasn't made of cocks, they'd have never got him off it.
That was so ridiculous.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I guess Renly's homosexuality is, like, a not very well concealed
secret. Quote-unquote, worst-kept secret in court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But JB's, like, surprisingly open-minded about it, and he's like, we don't get to choose who we love.
Right.
Like, oh, man.
My God. Because he loves
so
Cersei.
So true, JB.
He loves
Cersei.
Yeah, that's
sort of like the one moment where we get, like, you know, he turns off his assholiness.
Yeah.
He's about to get stabbed in the neck. So. Mm.
True.
He shows a little human glimpse of Jaime, and, like, all that we know of Jaime at this point is that he's fucking his sister, and that he killed the last king, and that he pushed Bran out of a window so that he's paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah.
So, like, right. Jaime's not a nice dude.
Yeah, he hasn't really scored very many points on the good side. On the
But he is very witty, though, so you've got to give him that.
Yeah,
he's definitely, like, driven by love. I mean, like, as he pushes Bran out the window, he says, the things we do for love.
Yeah.
He loves loving
he's
things.
He's definitely, like, a, you know, a prisoner of his own
devotion his own to Cersei. Yeah.
He's a true softie at heart, is what you're trying to say.
Oh, yeah.
For his sister.
Good time, I guess, for him.
They
can't control himself.
They run into one of our donkeys. I don't know how they got
him. Oh, my
him.
God. How did he get there?
I loved him.
I don't know why, though.
There's a guy with a donkey.
There's a guy with a donkey. That character, they put in the show for us to say, mm-hmm. Hey, look, here's you guys. You guys are in this cart.
Yeah.
We were
not sure when
horse.
It was coming
know.
In. No way. It had to be a donkey.
It was for sure. It was a dire donkey.
It was a donkey.
It played such a critical role in the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was so important.
Anyway, so they run into this guy, and Jamie's, they kind of talk for a second, and Jamie's like, that dude recognized me, you should kill him right now, and Brienne won't do it. It's interesting, because I feel like as show watchers, you're like, oh man, this is not going to end well at all. Like,
yeah.
There's just, like, no way, like, could that scene have happened, and then them, like, been able to go on about their day, no big deal? Of
course
not.
Well, no, they can't have this scene necessarily that's like, here's Brienne doing the right thing. Nothing will go bad.
Nothing
from this.
Bad.
This is the Game of Thrones.
And then everything's the right fine.
Everything bad will happen to you
yeah.
when you make
I mean,
the right
Jamie
decisions.
Jamie specifically says, is his innocence more important than the innocence of Catelyn's daughters?
And right. You do see Brienne, like, her face kind of changes when he says that. She thinks about it for a second, but she still is like, she still decides not to kill the guy.
Yeah.
Which, granted, I mean, like, if it were me in that situation, that would be hard to, like, just kill a random dude because you're like,
yeah,
you
right.
Might
just
because
he saw you.
Has exactly. Brienne killed at this point?
Yeah.
We know, like, has she been
yeah,
in battle?
She in Renly's camp when they were leaving, she murdered dudes.
And
ah,
she
right.
Those the two quick deaths and a slow one.
Yeah.
On
the road when she
road.
Was cutting down those hanged
yeah, so
ladies.
She's killed. And
okay, but she hasn't killed innocent people.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, definitely like people who like struck first.
Yeah.
In defense or, yeah. like, you know, in retroactive defense against people. Anyway, yeah, she's not killed, like, someone she just suspected of being bad.
Right.
And she still doesn't do it, which kind of leads to surprise.
Well, this guy isn't bad. He sees the Kingslayer.
He just knows
yeah.
who he is, yeah.
Exactly.
And he tells Bannerman of technically River Run, not
the
area of the same side.
Yeah, we don't know exactly who. Wait, did they have Bolton Banners?
They're Bolton Banners. They're supposed to be the Bloody Mummers.
But,
right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I don't know.
I've read they're not in this show, so.
Yeah.
No, they're not. I apparently, you know, it'd be kind of confusing with these dudes in the Arya gang.
It is confusing in the books, I think.
Yes.
So anyway, just Jaime and Brienne,
they
get
they
to
go
a river.
Across this bridge, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
They get to a river and they're kind of trying to decide, like, hey, like, should we go across the river on the bridge or in the water? And Jaime basically is like making fun of Brienne the entire time, and she's like, fine, we'll go across the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jaime's just like a little parrot on her shoulder the whole time going, I can go across the bridge. We go across the bridge, people see us. We go in the water, we might fall over and get taken down river. And
he's being a super annoying asshole, but really witty as he does it.
Could you imagine, like, I know we like to have fun at Brienne's expense, but could you actually imagine traveling with this guy?
It sounds terrible. Like, shut the fuck up.
This is like a week, 2.5 weeks of this already. It's like, you literally never stop talking.
But I feel like of all people, Brienne is the best to handle this, because she's just so like kind of taciturn. She's just like, what the fuck ever, man? Yeah. I'm just going to ignore you. I don't care. She's like so honor-driven. Like, she's just got her honor in her brain all day long, and she's just ignoring Jaime.
Once again.
Japes.
Yeah.
She's taking him a home. Why is he complaining?
I think he's just so brash that that is his captor. Yeah. So what's out?
Yeah.
Like, do you guys think that if Brienne just took off the shackles and was like, let's go to King's Landing together, he would do it? Or do you think he would stab her in the back?
I think he would probably stab her the first chance he got.
Yeah.
But why, though? Like, well, she can help.
Explained him as being really impetuous.
Yeah.
And acting first and thinking second.
He's a soldier. I mean, like, he's a battle dude. Like, he's not a politician. Like, he's not thinking about this and, you know, how is this going to work for my family politically? He's like, I'm in chains and I hate it.
Right. And this sure woman doesn't want some lady to be, you know, bringing him around.
This giant lady is, like, dragging me on a rope. And I don't like it. And I want
to. Well, even then,
rope.
If he gets brought back to King's Landing, then with Brienne, theoretically, they can broker the switch on over the girls for him. But if he kills Brienne, he can just go back and keep Sansa and co.
Yeah.
And it's like a one-way trade.
I don't even know if he's thinking that far ahead, though.
Yeah. Right?
No, I agree.
I think he just doesn't want to be captive. So, anyway, all that to say that Jaime and Brienne are walking across the bridge, and he literally, like, slumps down like a toddler, like, that's just done with it. It's like, man, I'm tired of walking. I've got cords on my feet.
He acts like Sam, basically.
He does. He pulls a real Sam and just falls down onto the ground.
That's why that Sam scene was in here.
Yeah. But, except for Jaime is one of the Kingsguard, and so he uses, like, that brief moment of Brienne being like, what is wrong with you? To pull the rope and grab her sword.
Yeah.
Her second sword, because she's got two of them for some reason.
Because she's a badass.
I guess. I'm going to start carrying two swords around.
I assume she just picked up some dead people's swords.
I always carried one, and then I never thought about this situation, so I got to carry two now.
Yeah. You got to be careful. At least have an extra dagger or something.
She did have a dagger.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
A dirk, maybe.
Maybe even a dirk.
Most likely a dirk. So they have an epic battle.
A quick little epic battle. It's good, and you can tell that Jaime's not quite
being matched in the beginning.
Well, because Jaime's been in prison for like months and months.
Yeah,
he's wearing manacles.
He is like not been fed well for I don't know how long they had him captive, but he looks pretty rough. Like
a whole
he also
season.
Looks really he looks skinny too, like from the way they show him,
and he has a dirty beard.
A really dirty beard.
I think his skill in fighting is still there, which is evident in the beginning, but his endurance is gone.
Exactly.
By the end of the battle, like she just owns him with like one hand.
She's awesome. Bigger than him.
She's a lot fucking bigger than him.
She's
and has
girl.
Fucking tons of armor on. Like, what is he gonna do?
But I think I was reading comments again on recaps, and people were talking about how, like, I didn't like this because it made it seem like Brienne just, like, beat him no big deal. And I'm like, I think most people watching it would understand, like, Jaime's not in, like, top fighting position right now.
Right. And for the beginning, there's almost times where he could have gotten her.
In the book, I think.
They were way more evenly matched in the book. It lasted longer, but maybe that's just because I read slow. And by read slow, I mean audiobook, so.
And they're in the water.
They were in the water.
I guess they chose the alternate route in the water and the choose your own adventure.
Exactly. In this universe, they chose
either way, you're fucked.
Yeah, but yeah, and then as they're doing it, there's little folks.
Some dudes show up.
Like, hi.
The Bloody Mumbers are Bolton Banner people.
Yeah. Like, is this the people? Oh, you probably should have killed this random serf. He
totally screwed them.
He ratted you out, man.
He really fudged the bucket on this one.
As he was out of sight, he jumped on that donkey and just went, like, nutso.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's going to take them because he doesn't want to lose his head because I guess King Rob in the North will kill you for that sort of thing.
He's the king in the North, but have my head.
And there's old Donkey Guy.
All right, let's go on down to King's Landing. And, Joffrey's getting his wardrobe done up better.
Mm-hmm. Man, Joffrey hates flowers so much. And you know what? He's in trouble because flowers are really in season this year.
For sure. The Loras people are bringing a nice new theme to King's Landing.
The feeling Joffrey thinks flowers are queer.
He does think that. And I bet he would say that. I wonder if that is a word in Westeros.
I heard he's going to make flowers punishable by death.
Yeah. Hates flowers. Kill all flowers. Murder them all.
The showrunners were like, Joffrey needs another level of something. I don't know.
What's really in right now?
Homophobia. Yeah. Let's add that.
I got it. Gay rights. We can make him against that, too.
He hates him.
Hey, guys, you don't want to be Joffrey, do you?
Don't be a Joffrey.
Yeah. So he's getting his dress made.
his very manly dress. Not made of flowers, but filled with, like, filigree?
There's
I'm like,
gotta
Joffrey,
be filigree.
This is not any more manly. Like, I don't understand.
No, these
why
are tassels and chevrons.
Other thing. Anyway, Joffrey's getting his outfit made, and Cersei's, like, hanging out in the room with him for some reason, being weird.
Just chilling.
Being an annoying mom. Trying to be cool mom. And cool mom. Look, you can't be cool mom.
Like, she's gotta get them acting paychecks. She's not doing well.
Yeah. But she's trying.
I'm so sad. I want to give her money.
She needs $8,000.
Oh,
I don't have that much money. I was thinking like a cool tenner.
No, she specifically told a judge she needed $8,000.
What is this?
Oh yeah, the actress doesn't have any money.
Really?
Yeah.
She's
why?
In divorce. She's in the middle of a divorce.
Because apparently HBO doesn't pay that well.
Man, that's rude as hell. She's been in a lot of things.
Well, they canceled the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
You need a better financial.
Hey, spoiler, Tim.
She was really counting on them making 301.
Owned it. Lived it. Dreamed it.
I'm depressed now.
Any dang way. I think this is, I think my favorite part about show version of Game of Thrones is the way they justify these talking scenes.
Yeah.
Because in the book, it's never like, then they're riding bicycles together and here's some, you know, exposition. It's like, no, they're talking because you're reading a book. That's all we can do is a book.
Whereas in the show, they have to be doing something.
They have to do something.
And it's like, oh, let's make Joffrey a coat.
Let's give him some t-shirts. I don't know. And Cersei's drinking wine.
So Joffrey and his mom, Cersei, they're at the Hot Topic picking out clothes.
Oh, God.
And he is tantruming.
I don't think that Joffrey would shop at the Hot Topic. I feel like Joffrey would wear, like, Lacoste and some boat shoes.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, I get that. But he's also really dark and fucking evil. Like,
he's
goth.
Really... I don't know, man.
He's not sad enough to be goth.
Yeah, that's true. He does. Yeah, he doesn't feel...
He's more... Anything? He's, like, evil from American Psycho evil.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I watched that movie for like the first time like a couple weeks ago. That movie is kind of fucked up.
It's a lot fucked up. Anyway, Joffrey, Cersei's trying to get Joffrey to talk about Marjorie. She's trying to be like cool mom, be like, so tell me about your girlfriend.
Right, and maybe
she's trying to be cool mom. I think she doesn't like Marjorie.
I'm kind of curious what she was going for because Marjorie is like objectively attractive, and she's almost like. Do you like girls? What's going on here?
Yeah, what is your Christina. Deal, demon child of mine?
hath I wrought?
What are you into? He doesn't really want to talk about
it. He talks about like how Marjorie is like clearly, you know, wouldn't be getting down dirty with the, you know, peasants if it weren't for some specific reason.
And she makes a joke about how she doesn't wear a lot of clothes because the like little bolt of cloth, she's like, oh, that'll be enough for...
She can use that for her wedding dress. I'm sure it's enough or something like that.
There was a handful of plum zingers in this episode.
Yeah, she is pretty good at that. Marjorie, you guys.
I don't know why. She is a delight.
She doesn't like Marjorie because she's beautiful and she's trying to usurp Cersei's position and power. And
oh,
she
man.
Does not like that at all.
Do not want new queen.
Nope.
Stick around for the spoiler section because I think we can talk about why that is.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Something that will never, ever, 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 ever be mentioned in the television
Probably
program.
Probably not.
Yeah, that is true. So let's just mention it here.
No.
No.
Basically, no. Cersei's a lesbian.
Oh, surprise.
No.
Actually.
Jokes.
That was a spoiler.
Is it?
So Shay is looking out for Sansa, strangely enough, you guys.
Aw.
Which I like. They've become best friends.
I like it a lot. Shay is such an interesting character in this show. Like, I really enjoy. I think she's another character they've fleshed out a lot. Fleshed out, get it? No, but really, they've made her a lot more three-dimensional and interesting and likable in the
True.
Show. And she's very protective of Sansa for whatever reason.
I don't know why. I guess she doesn't like to see females being picked on.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever backstory they've invented for her.
We don't know anything about her backstory.
Well, she basically assumes that Littlefinger is, like, trying to fuck her.
He's trying to get it, and she's like, watch out for him. And Sansa's all like, oh, no, he's just trying to help me.
He's too old.
Like, he's too old, don't you see? He couldn't possibly be interested in me.
It's like, Sansa, that's exactly why he is interested in you, because he's a creepy old dude.
Yeah.
He wants your old name.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's just like, no, it's because he loved my mom. It's like, yeah, you're like replacement for her. Watch out.
Exactly. Even though Sansa looks nothing like her mom.
Well, she's got the red hair.
You could tell that Catelyn back in her day was a little something-something.
But also, like, there's also the concept of if he's not trying to get in her gown, he's trying to get her to spy for him. So either way, it's not good, and Shay wants Sansa to be careful.
And Shay's also like, hey, if he does anything or, like, touches you inappropriately, I want you to let me know. And Sansa's like, why? And she's like, I'll stop him.
Yeah. She does have that little knife.
The little knife on her leg.
She's all the time.
Yeah. Or that, or I guess she can go to Tyrion and be like.
Oh, that would work out well. My whore said that you who are trying to... You're being too mean to the traitor girl. Mm-hmm. Please stop. What's that? My father is throwing me into a poop town.
Well, Sansa, I'm sorry I tried, but I've made things worse. So,
my bad.
Sorry.
And then our favorite, Sir Loras Tyrell.
Oh, man.
He's so dreamy.
Remember when we interviewed him?
Exactly. If you're a new listener, go back in time. Find the episode where we interviewed him.
Mm-hmm.
We also interviewed Hodor.
Ben Jones is like a cool dude, too.
He's cool as heck.
You should follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He likes good music. And
He's so good looking.
He's so handsome.
Guys, he's a piece of
super nice, too. Yeah. So guys. Nice.
Dem curls be natural. Find That's out true. More in our interview.
With Ben Jones.
With Ben Jones.
Go get it.
He eats during it a little bit.
Anyway, so
memories.
So Finn Jones, aka Loras Tyrell, comes to escort Sansa to see his sister Margaery and more of his family.
And yeah, his grandmama.
His grandmama.
His mima, if you will.
His memums. Anyway. So Sansa is so excited because the beautiful, handsome Loras Tyrell is escorting her.
Yeah.
And she's like, remember when you gave me a rose? And he's like, no.
She does a great job being the super excited teenage girl.
Yeah.
Which is great because she's been so gloomy.
Yeah, she's definitely, oh my gosh. It's basically as if she were a modern day girl and like one or five of those One Direction boys came to her door. That's what she's feeling right
now. Yeah, because he's British.
Oh yeah, they're the same people. I can only assume that Finn Jones is one of the five,
Five
He's
directions.
One of the One Directions.
Oh, is that what it is? Each of them are One Direction? Like, I am North.
I'm East.
But there's five. What's the one?
South Southwest.
Oh,
yeah.
That's weird.
I'm South by Southwest. Nobody likes me.
Oh.
I'm up.
Just up. Somewhere.
I'm Z.
This is my homeboy left. Can we move on? Let's move on.
Never. Sansa's very, very excited. Loras does not remember her at all. And he finally delivers her to Margaery and the Queen of Thorns, who is awesome.
I loved her. She's great. She's the best new character.
Love her.
She reminds me of the Dowager on...
Oh, yeah.
Dowager is the old one, right? The grandma.
The Dowager Countess is what's her face?
Maggie Smith.
That's who she reminded me of.
Yeah, like, Downton totally, Abbey. Which is awesome.
She's great. She's sassy. She does not give a shit about anything.
I'll get my fucking cheese when I want my cheese.
She's just talking smack the entire time, and she's like, "Ah, oh, my son's a fathead and he's dumb."
And yeah, my husband rode off a cliff while hawking.
Yeah, and Margie's like, "Grandmama, please stop. What will Sasha think of us?"
I really like how she, the only thing I thought of when she was like, "Oh, give me my cheese when I want my cheese," the only thing I think of was like, "What if it's not ready? What if they were preparing it for later?" But it's all good. It was already ready.
But it's cheese.
She's a woman after my own heart. Because you know what? When I want cheese, I want my cheese.
I gotta respect the waiter in this scene. He's like, I know you have the power to most likely murder me, but it's not cheese time. And then she really...
Guess what? It is cheese time.
All right. Okay. He did his damnedest. But they have lemon cakes and cheeses and gossip, which is really great.
I really wanted to see the lemon cakes. I think we've already established that the lemon cakes are not lemon dream bars, but rather just like regular cake that tastes like lemon.
I think that is the concept.
They showed it, and it looked thick as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, here's a quick little plug.
Okay, let's do it.
One of my friends from college actually does a food blog called Food in General, and she, for the premiere, made lemon cakes, and she made a rack of lamb. It looked so... so good.
Why did they not make it for me, Tim Laning?
Because they're in North Carolina.
What?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, Food in General. Look it up. She made lemon cakes. It was awesome.
What was it called?
Food in General.
Food in General. Okay.
Yeah. We can retweet. We can retweet the link too. But she actually didn't love the one recipe. I think she like tweaked it or something. I don't know.
Is one recipe a different British band? I'm not very.
It's a cooking show with One Direction.
I'd watch this.
Oh man, that'd be great. They'd be like, "Oh man, we're so out of touch with reality. We don't know what's going on."
Yeah.
So, can we say what? Maybe we can't say what Alina's nickname is. Can we say that?
Yeah, Queen of Thorns.
I think I already said it. So.
Okay, cool. So, Marjorie and the Queen of Thorns. They want to know what Joffrey's deal is.
Yeah. And Sansa's terrified, which is completely understandable because there's literally like no one she can trust in King's Landing except for like maybe Shay.
Yeah, and she's getting a little bit better to, I guess, try to talk to people about being like, I don't like it here.
But it's hard to decide who's trustworthy.
For sure.
And so she's kind of like, oh, I don't really want to tell you. But this... Queen of Thorns pushes her.
Yeah.
This scene is so, it's so great because, yeah, they're asking like, oh, tell us truthfully what Joffrey is like, and Sansa goes through like this whole range of emotions where she's like doing her repetition, her robot like voice. Response about Joffrey to like just completely breaking and losing control and being like, he's a total monster, she made me look at my father's head on a spike, back to, oh, I'm just kidding, you know, he's great,
yeah,
really brave.
It's pretty bad, the best part of this entire scene are Margaery and Olenna's reaction, because they literally are like, oh, well.
That's annoying.
Yeah, because they've heard the rumors, and then as soon as Sansa confirms it, Margaery, like, rolls her eyes like, oh, man, guess I gotta deal with this.
Like that reaction is so badass, because, like, what Sansa is saying is, yeah, the person you're gonna marry is a sociopath, and Margaery's like, oh, bother,
this
whatever.
This is yet another thing in my path.
I've got it. No big deal.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have talked about this enough, but damn, Natalie Dormer is killing it as Marjorie. She is so good.
She has a great face. A lot of her emotions show forth their face.
She's very good at playing sweet. She's very good at playing subtle too.
She's very well rounded, as Jennifer put it.
Guys, that's not what I meant.
Nailed it.
I was very skeptical when she was first cast. I was like, whoa, she's
like
old.
87 years old.
But she's actually like 100% perfect.
How old is she?
In the book, she's like 16.
I got that.
But Natalie Dormer's like, I don't know. I'll check.
I think
42.
No.
She's 42.
That's not true.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Everybody look it up. Natalie.
She's 30.
Tyrion
she's 30.
And Shay.
She's 30?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's old.
Yeah, she is old.
She actually's 31.
Good for her. She's beautiful. She's a very beautiful
lady.
She's
gorgeous.
And I mean,
she doesn't, I would never have known she was 30, but she definitely looked older than 16, which is why at first I was like, oh, I don't know. But she's great well at it.
So she was born in 82. I feel like that's not that much older than me, and now I feel sad.
But it is.
No, you're 30. Deal with it.
You're old, too.
Tyrion and Shay do stuff.
Yeah.
Mouse stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in that movie Rush that I want to see.
Oh.
Cool.
Anyway, Tyrion shows up to his bedroom. Shay's like, hey, what's up? I'm just hanging out. And
this is the weirdest scene, by the way.
It's literally, like, only so that people will have Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, is there anything that we, the experts of Game of Thrones, can dig into this scene and be like...
Actually, yes, but not... I can't
Tyrion
talk about it.
Tyrion gets a BJ.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, actually, I do have a theory of why this was included, but I can't talk about it until the spoilers.
Oh, well, guys, wait. No, we did also find out that when Tyrion fucked Roz, he hit it twice.
He hit that twice.
Oh, he totally did. Also, this whole scene, Tyrion uses kind of like a baby voice on Shay. And it's the worst. I'm like, stop talking like that.
Stop it, the dink.
Cut it. But it works.
But I feel like...
Children.
Speaking of Tyrion, did you guys see Drunk Uncle Tyrion on Saturday Night Live this weekend? It was pretty... I was watching it live, and it was pretty surprising and awesome.
Okay, I'll have to go watch that.
You didn't say funny. Was it funny?
It was surprising.
It wasn't super funny to me, but...
It was nice to see Peter Dinklage in another role, but I do think he should keep the curly... long hair because he's like shaved in this.
Oh,
anyway,
weird.
Okay.
Tyrion and Shay have a thing where they like to fight and then fuck. I think they're really into that because I can't tell when Shay's like being mad or when she's just like messing with him.
Whatever nationality she is, she has that temper, the Volantine temper,
whatever she's from. But I think Tyrion's pretty into it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Shay just likes making him really mad and then, like, completely turning him around on.
I think
controlling his emotions.
Yeah. But she basically pretends to get, or maybe she really does get mad, I don't know, because he was with Roz, and then he admits that Sansa's face is pretty, and she's like, I hate it.
You're a pedophile. Like, well.
Well, yes. No.
She's like, you see, it's a different time.
She gives him a BJ.
Yes.
And that's the entire scene.
Yeah,
guys, this episode was not very salacious, like, at all.
Nope. Nobody paid the iron price.
Was there no nudity?
There were zero lady boobs. There were some man chests.
Honestly, in the beginning, when HBO...
There was some boy chest.
Oh, yeah.
Theon...
Theon. He's getting tortured.
Exactly, yeah. It was not scintillating.
Some people like that. I've seen it on the internet.
That's weird.
When HBO threw up the little warnings at the beginning and the nudity one wasn't up there, I just turned it off. Actually, I didn't even watch the episode.
Only thing I'm here for.
It's not TV. It's HBO.
Mm.
So, you know.
It's home, boobs, office.
Home boob office.
Well, they do have that. So far, it's been like 1.5 times a season where they just have a ridiculous boob scene.
So is that going to come up next episode? Because we didn't... There were boobs last episode, but just one set.
Mm-hmm.
And it went for very long. I feel like we're going to get more.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What if that Saturday Night Live skit from last year or whatever when they were talking about the boobs? Like, what if that, like, they took that way personal and they, like, cut it back? Honestly, that would be a good thing, but...
My understanding is... That is a little true.
The SNL skit
really seriously.
Well, no, like I heard the general criticism that there was a producer for the show that was new, and he was like pushing for full frontal nudity.
That makes me really upset.
But I have zero source for this. I just thought. I think that
I remember
happened.
That too. Though. It was like a director was talking about it.
You have zero source for this, so you just came up with it.
No, I read it. It could have been a dream, but Thrifty would also dream it.
I remember the same thing, though, Tim. There was like a director from the show talking about how one of the producers was pushing him to do more nudity and like full frontal nudity and what.
That makes me so angry. Look, I'm fine with there being some nudity if it makes sense in the scene, but when there's like a producer that's pushing for it, what he's saying is, these people who watch the show are stupid. They only want to see boobs. Even
they're
if they have the internet and they can see boobs anytime.
You can. I'm doing it right now.
Well, that's the thing. Also, they're like, they're playing to like, this has it's like a really nerdy audience and male
mostly.
They've
never seen a boob before.
And they think that nudity is going to make people turn in when tune in. But that's
yeah. But they have so many viewers, so it's like, either it is, or they're going to start pushing people away with it. I don't know.
Like I said, I don't mind it when it makes sense in the story. I didn't even care about...
Don't you have to pay people more money to be naked?
Yeah.
How many zombie fights did we miss out on
because of boobs?
That darker gal that sat on Bronze knee last season?
I want zombies.
If I find out that we had to miss out on, like, epic fight scenes because of boobs...
There has to be conversion.
You know, because, like, I can print out my own boobs and like, put them on the TV, you know, like, from the internet.
Put boob on side of TV.
That's fine.
Yeah, I do that. Blackwater would have had twice as many people if we had zero nudity.
We could have seen the fight scene with Sam at the beginning with the Whitewalkers and all that.
Rude.
If it wasn't for those
talking about this, what's Joffrey and Marjorie doing?
The scene.
Oh, this scene is great.
Yeah, this is for sure. I think the best scene in the entire episode.
This scene just shows how dumb Sansa is and how smart Marjorie is.
Well, Sansa's just not experienced in the ways of the world, and Marjorie is an extremely political person.
Yeah. She knows how to play someone.
She's very manipulative, but not at all obvious about it. She's very good at playing the, like, I'm just a, you know, young girl who doesn't know the ways of the world.
Right.
Marjorie is called to Joffrey's room by Joffrey. He calls her there.
Yeah.
And he's all like, I just wanted to make sure you're doing good before my trip.
Yeah.
He's and going Joffrey's on a hunting trip.
He's being a little awkward, too, which shows that he's not so great with people, which I kind of like.
Weird! Sociopathic king, not great with people. But I also feel like he's got a little bit, like, he's wanting to, like, impress Marjorie or something. Like, he's got a little, like, little boy nervousness about him.
Yeah. Well, when she first comes in, like, he's, like, giving the speech that his mom was giving him.
Yeah.
Like... basically, like, and she just wins him over. She, like, turns him around.
Well, yeah, he goes into this weird thing, and, like, that dark, evil music starts playing, and Marjorie's like, where's that music coming from? And he's basically like, oh, so how is lying in a bed with a traitor doing your wifely duties?
Yeah,
and, like, it seems like it's going in a really dark place, and we all know how dark, like, a Joffrey dark place is.
It's pretty dark.
And it gets kind of freaky, and then Marjorie just, like, you know, she just takes that momentum and, like, spins it.
Yeah. She handles it well, and then she, instead of, like, shutting him down and escaping, kind of deflects it, and then moves it on more to where, you
know. She leans into the crazy.
Yeah.
So... Joffrey doesn't like the concept of Marjorie being with another guy before him. Mm-hmm. So she's basically she does a few things. So she emasculates Renly in front of Joffrey by being like, he likes dudes. And then she makes herself seem like a blameless, pure, innocent victim to Renly's perversions.
Yeah.
Because the way she describes it too, it's like very much the way like an innocent quote unquote person would do, because she doesn't like say sex or anything like that. She's like, when I wanted to make a child.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't a passion for her. She was just doing her duty for her
house.
Doing
her duty, exactly. And then she brings up that basically Renly wanted to do butt stuff with her.
Which is hilarious.
We don't know it's butt stuff. We just know it would be quite painful for her.
It would not produce a child. So, butt stuff.
But would that somehow, like, be more appealing to a gay man?
I think that's kind of dumb and probably offensive, but I think it's still pretty funny.
I don't think it seems to make sense.
You think that's offensive to gay people? How about he's like, oh, I think that kind of action would be punishable by death.
No. I think sometimes when you take something like that as, like, oh, gay people only like buttholes.
Yeah. But that, it doesn't.
Everybody likes buttholes.
Marjorie's playing to Joffrey, though, and he doesn't know any better. So that's the answer.
There you go. I like that spin.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's true, though. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm, like, putting too much stock into Marjorie, but she's just, like, really good at spinning things and, like, playing to her audience, and right now her audience is Joffrey. So she's positioned herself as not being a quote-unquote whore, like you would think of as that. So now he's like, okay, well, she's not been had by another dude, so it's okay for me to feel feels for her.
Right. And the book does not do that good of a job to explain why Like, mm-mm. At this point, we're not... We've said it before, but the book doesn't do a good job to explain that Renly's gay.
Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know until you guys told me he was gay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I don't judge people that way.
Oh, me either.
I just think maybe it was my fault for being, like, oblivious and not looking for that. But, yeah, I did not notice it for a good while.
But this whole concept
I'm trying to figure out if each one of you is gay right now. Like, that's all I do. Is just constantly. If people are gay or not.
It's very distracting.
And he never figures it out. He's very bad at it. He's
constantly searching.
But,
like, in the show and book, they're always constantly being like, yeah, she was married to this guy for a little bit, but they never did sex to each other.
Yeah. And when I was reading the book first, I was like, bullshit, whatever, yeah. She totally did. But then when I thought about it, I'm like, maybe she didn't.
Like, what about, the whole bedding ceremony? Have we had that yet in the show?
They don't. No,
I don't think they properly did that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they did either.
I bet he probably came up with some excuse.
In Game of Thrones weddings, there's a bedding ceremony where they make the two, you know, bride and groom bed each other.
They take their clothes off and then throw them into the bed and they leave. So they don't.
No, they don't leave. They don't they?
Yeah, they listen out the door.
Out the door. They don't look. They don't.
They're not in the bedroom.
Yeah, they don't know what's actually happening.
And the point is, everyone's drunk and they're like hoisting them and ripping their clothes off.
It's crazy.
And it's probably the craziest thing. I know. It's the this is as all the crazy things that are in this world. I feel they're normal ass. This is the seven. This isn't like the old gods. This is the seven, the uptight seven. This is the craziest thing.
Yeah. Super weird.
Yeah.
But awesome.
But it's like old. It's like everyone just gets really drunk and body.
Like the thing is, in like our world, like getting super drunk like that, it's frowned upon, and that's a shame.
Too bad.
No,
I want to go back and I want to stop you guys talking about what you're talking about because it's not even in the show. So the last thing that Marjorie does that I found really interesting to win Joffrey over is taking interest in his crossbow. Now, what did we learn last season about Joffrey?
Joffrey loves crossbows.
He loves crossbows. And you know what else he loves? The only thing that Joffrey loves more than injuring people himself is watching someone else injure another person.
Yes.
So, I don't know if Marjorie knows this, or she just has a really lucky guess, but she's, like, all up on him with a crossbow, and is all like, oh, like, man, it must be cool to, like, pull the trigger here and see something die over there.
Well,
would you like to watch me kill something?
That was so nuts.
And his face, like, the joy on his face, like, the demented joy was
What do you think the director was, like, saying to him, like, all right. She says that she's gonna kill something for you. Now you love it, man.
You love it.
You love it. You love the camera. Okay, first of all, like, I don't think that's weird at all because we had that scene with Sansa and they've heard all the rumors about Joffrey and Sansa just confirms it. She knows that he's a monster and she's playing up this whole fact that he's a, you know, like a sadistic, you know, kids that kill animals and stuff. It's all creepy and weird and. She's playing it up. Also, when she comes in the room, he's like fondling his crossbow.
Oh my god. That crossbow is so phallic. It's like so ridiculously phallic.
This one is
phallic.
So much more phallic than the one from last season too, which is awesome.
Like literally, like they're sitting there beside each other at one point and like his hand is in the crossbow and hers like kind of creeps over.
Yeah, they show a shot several times where her hand is like spread open.
It's so obviously sexual. Like it's ridiculous. And when they're holding the crossbow together, it's man.
Also weird, isn't Joffrey the guy who plays him like actually pretty young?
Yeah.
And Marjorie's 31.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's weird. Anyway, also on Twitter, I think one of you guys asked about the crossbow last season being a crank and then this one being like a weird lever thing.
Because it's a new one.
Yeah, okay, he says it's a new model, but I don't think that necessarily means it's not the one he got for his birthday.
Well, he specifically says there's no crank on this one.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm the one that asked it because I wanted to confirm that last year's model did have a crank. Because what they're doing is they're setting up an unreasonable expectation that every new season of Game of Thrones is going to give us a new, more badass crossbow. Next season of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. just a spoiler, next season of Game of Thrones is going to have a steampunk-ass, like, multi-shot crossbow that,
yeah.
That he's going to have. Very excited.
What, they could put, like, a scope.
Yeah, like a scope on it.
But he's not going to stock.
Maybe. But he's not going to use the scope, and he's going to be like, "I no scope that bitch."
Well, he fired from the hip, and managed that was to get awesome. Right through that boar's eyes.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. Yeah. I'll give Joffrey that.
Because
so.
He was shitty at crossbowing last year,
but now he's good.
Well, because he has that shitty crank model.
Yeah, he's got a better model this time. His mm-hmm. penis. His penis crank.
Oh yeah, he is older now, so his
well,
penis is bigger.
Do you guys think like? Okay, the crank model, or no, not the crank model, the shitty crank model, I feel like that one would be better, because in this one, he has to, like, get this weird lever, put it on there, and, like, crank it back, and then, like, put that, like, where do you put the little crank thing, like, when you're not...
The crank model also, he had to attach it and detach it.
I'm 100% bored by this crossbow talk now, really, and I'm the worst, really over it. Guys, let's talk about Arya and company, who we did not even see last episode at all. Oh my gosh. Where were they? They were in the woods, hanging out, arguing with each other. I can only
They're
assume.
Roughly 6 blocks away from Bran and Jaime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are in the same general neighborhood.
Theoretically. We actually don't know where Bran and Jaime are coming from.
I love that the intro to this scene is Gendry giving Arya shit for her choice in deaths. He's
like all the fans are doing.
You can't wait to the war. But you know what, though? Actually, someone in the comments on a thing I was reading today pointed out that's actually not necessarily true. Like, just because, like, Joffrey or Tywin died doesn't mean the war would be over.
It
could help, but it doesn't necessarily change. And you don't know how that would have changed, like, how that would have branched out and changed other things. So, I understand shit she's getting, but, you know.
It also takes him a lot longer. Because, like, you know, he was like, it might be a year from now. But
exactly.
Goes in front of the other, and then eventually the guy in King's Landing dies.
Yeah, so whatever. But I do think it was like a nice little nod to the fans. Like, we get it.
If they keep doing these little things like that, like the Tyrion not having a nose, why did Arya not choose more important people? Yeah. I love it.
5 stars. We'd definitely watch it.
I'm back in.
Back in.
I'll eat at Game of Thrones now.
I'm updating that Yelp review.
The three of them are in the woods walking along, and they hear somebody singing that Reigns of Castamere song, which is the only song that people sing in Westeros.
They sing the Bear and the Maiden Fair.
But no one, not on the show. No, we've never heard it. Only Reigns of Castamere.
I think they only sing a Bear and the Maiden Fair when they're in a good mood.
Yeah.
Because Reigns of Castamere
is like about...
Reigns of Castamere.
Reigns of Castamere is about Tywin Lannister, like, destroying a house. Like... A family.
That's a super depressing song.
Yeah, whereas the Bear and the Maiden Fair is about...
Oh, I thought Reigns of Castamere was older than Tywin. Regardless.
So they hear the people singing, they hide behind this random-ass wall that's in the middle of the woods for some reason, but they know there's people hiding behind the wall.
Yeah. That Arrow Man magic.
He magic. He knows what's up. Arya tries to, like, step out and be like, it's just me and my sword. Hi. Yeah. But they're like,
they're very quickly like, what about those two dudes? And she's like, what two dudes? The dudes that are right there.
The fat one and the smith who's a bastard of Robert Baratheon.
They don't say that, but they do. They seem to know a lot of information.
Yeah.
It's
the Brotherhood of Banners, Theros of Myr, and Anguy.
This is the only casting... Thoros that I was like, I did not see that. Because Thoros is supposed to be like bald in the books.
He's supposed to be bald.
And he's originally he originally looks like Varys.
Yeah, that's always I always think of him as like Varys too.
But at this point
he's supposed to be a monk as well.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. I don't really care. This guy's fine. It just like keeps throwing me off because it's just not how I think of Thoros.
Yeah,
this
guy's actually mentioned by Robert Baratheon in the television show in season one, but whatever.
As being crazy because he has his sword on fire.
Yeah.
And then the other dude is named Anguy, and I don't think this person is mentioned in the show.
No.
But in the books, in the very first book, when they have the big tournament at the beginning, he wins the archery competition.
Right.
So
and
he's
Ned
really
Stark,
good at archery.
At the tournament of the hand, he basically goes up to him and he's like, hey man, you should totally join the King's Guard or the the Golden Cloak. He's like, nope, I'm going to get drunk and have sex with all these girls. Now he's hanging out with the Brotherhood of Banners. That's a little background for you.
They're like the they're like Robin Hood's merry men.
For sure.
That's what I was thinking. When they were walking through the woods singing, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And basically they're trying to figure out who Arya and gang are fighting for. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get the, you know, without banners thing that they don't really care for any side.
They're trying to help the small folk.
Exactly. So it's seriously like some super Robin Hood shit up in here. Also, Hot Pie almost gets murdered by an arrow, and it's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Because Aang guy's like, watch me shoot this arrow into the sky, and it's going to hit you in your head if you don't move.
It's like that scene from the movie Garden State.
I don't remember that scene. That was years ago. So they're like, hey, you know, come back with us. We'll give you some food, and then we'll let you go. And then they actually, like, kind of stick to their word. They're like,
They're not dickholes for whatever reason.
Except for then Arya, like, draws her sword and, like, totally fucking fails.
Yeah, well, she's, like, a little tight girl. And Thoros Amir is actually, like, a really good sword fighter, so... Which we find out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess you wouldn't have to be that good to, like, knock a sword out of a little girl's hand, but...
Her grip.
She's trained. She's trained. But she does get kind of, like... You know, put down a peg.
Well, according to the show, she had like a week's worth of training.
Yeah, at least a week.
Like, that's it.
So anyway, after she gets a little bit embarrassed by Thoros, they're like, all right, you can leave now. And they're like, cool, bye, we're going to leave. But as they're going to go out the door, some of the Brotherhood comes in the door, and who's with them?
It's the Hound.
Oh, no, it's the Hound.
Jennifer's the Hound.
Fucking
Hound. Oh, my gosh, the Hound.
Yeah.
And he's like... Why do you have the Stark bitch with you?
Yeah.
Hound, she's like 9.
It's do we need the language?
That's rude language.
I feel like bitch is the wrong word for like a kid.
A child.
Well, then again, there are wolves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is true. Oh,
was he making a wolf pun? I doubt it.
I doubt it.
I would have called her like a cunt.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. That is harsh, Thrifty.
No?
Whoa.
That is that's a very British thing to say.
I should have gone C-word on that one.
You really dropped it.
Wow,
just
why
dropped
do you hate
straight
Arya
up nuclear
so
C-bomb. Was it ready for that? Scorch Earth.
We have nowhere left to go.
Guys, this is a joke.
All that.
Also,
141 in.
Can we make, I bet all of that's getting cut out, yeah.
No way, dude.
But my nuclear C-bomb joke. Leave it in.
All right, well, we've reached the normal end of the show. We'll go through some of your hot feedback, because we love you. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it'll be a little music interlude, and then we'll go to everyone's favorite moment, Spoiler Zone.
Spoiler Town.
I like Spoiler Town. Hey, Tim, why don't you read us some reviews that we got this week? Hey, if you want your review read on the show... Leave us a review. We only pick the best. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Thank you, Nick. I'll do that right now. Isengrim from Ireland says, best Game of Thrones podcast by far. Shrink of Westeros from the United States says, 7 hells. So happy this cast is back. We never left. Melkor 34 says, the best ever. And then I think they go on to say that Jennifer and I are brother and sister, which is not true.
Which
anyways,
it is true.
Ivinci of Canada says, g'day, mate. Great dire donkeys of the Gothraki Sea. William Gothraki.
Oh, that's great. I love it.
William Cardinal says, great podcast. No Nipple from the United Kingdom says, this one is pleased to have. Listen.
Oh my
gosh. Read the whole thing. Read the whole
thing. This podcast really helped me get over the loss of my apple.
I love you.
That's awesome.
I love you.
I guess one of the Unsullied bought an iPod and downloaded us. Thank you. That's very nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
He was in his camp after killing that baby and he was just like,
was it Grey Worm?
He's like, I'm not going to give this silver over to that dead parent's or that dead baby's slave owner.
So rude.
I'm going to buy an iPod. Mr. Jellyfish, Cook Scorpion says, amazing! Mr. Jellyfish from the United Kingdom says, Cast of Thrones skillfully drowns out the voices in my head. That's great. Drowned Snow says, amazingly fun, but not for those who don't know how to relax. I guess what they're saying is, we're goofy. Yeah, we don't really fit the boring.
We're not boring. Still. We're cool.
We're not your
guest Game of Thrones podcast.
We're your mom's Game of Thrones podcast.
Listen, we record this while on rollerblades that are on top of skateboards, and we're not wearing a helmet.
We're wearing a jetpack, and we're flying.
We're max cool to the cool zone. Oh, God. Sorry.
If you can't handle it, if you can't handle me at my jetpack and roller skates, you can't handle me anytime. Sorry.
Hey, guys. That was a bad joke. You know, we have a Twitter at Cast of Thrones. And, you know, I wanted to give a shout out to all people that always talk to us on there, like Lakers Girl 1084, Harley Taylor, Kangaroo Cargo, Bar Amon, Michelle Silva, Laura Likes Lemons, who has the best avatar picture. Who else? Sean Noel, Peter Fulton, T. Fred, Sarah Kosh, Christian Nairn. Never heard of him.
Who is that?
That's Hodor, you guys.
What?
He likes us. Azad Njekin.
Azad Njekin, obviously.
I'm really bad.
The world famous Azad.
Kenzie, IV, Jim Watari, Ashley Shadowbrook. There's a lot of Erica Cruz. I recognize.
Sounds
that
like you're
name.
Falling asleep.
He's sleeping. And can I give one more plug again?
Oh my god!
No, it's the same plug. I'm just reminding. I'm just reminding. If you care about lemon cakes, which I know you do. Mm-hmm. Go to my friend Allison Reinhardt Malden's blog, Food in General, and check out her Game of Thrones posts.
These plugs cost money.
Strom there.
What? It's not for me. That's for someone else.
Check me out on the internet. check me out on the internet.
If you want to talk to me online, I'm on Twitter, and my name is at Thrifty Nerd.
My name is at Tim Lanning. Connect with me.
I'm at Jennifer Cheek.
And I'm at the letter R, Bristow.
And we're going to have a little musical interlude. And then we're going to come back and talk about spoilers. So this would be the time. If you don't want to hear spoilers, you should turn off this podcast. We love you.
Unless you want to listen to music.
And keep riding that donkey.
Music play, music play, music's done.
All right, now it's... Spoilers. Now, as our world famous catchphrase is, throw that milk away, it's spoiled.
That actually happened milk at my is work today. Spoiled. Everyone's so, very interested.
All right, so what spoiler topics y'all want to talk about? Let me start, because we won't talk about it for very long. You guys will be mad at me.
Okay.
Bran eats Jojen. Move on.
Jojen Pace, look it up. Look at Jojen.
Wait, what?
Google Jojen Pace.
Google Jojen Pace right now.
Have we not? We've told you this. This is on our spoiler cast. Bran eats Jojen later
him.
In the series.
He's delicious. He eats him. He needs to. Eats him to death.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's just a theory. It's a theory.
The theory is Bran eats the weirwood paste given to Bran.
He's Jojen.
In book 5. By the children of the forest and Blood Raven is a ground up Jojen.
Wait, is he dead?
Well, that's, no.
Bran doesn't see any of them for like the last
it's so
like a month.
Weird. Because he talks about going into the area where they had been sleeping and it's like empty and looks like no one has been there for a while.
Yeah.
There's actually I kind of believe it now because
The whole
meeting weird paste.
Yeah, and he said it tastes like death, and it was red. But then again, a lot of werewolf stuff's red. But also. Jojen constantly talks about dying and mostly how he's not going to die. In this instance, he starts to talk about how he's going to die.
Do you guys feel bad that Bran is a tree and can never be with Meera?
Hey, at least now he can get some wood.
Oh my god.
Guys, last night when I was sitting with my wife, she doesn't care about spoilers, and and I said something to her about Bran becoming a tree, and she's just like, what? And I was like, just forget it.
That's the thing about Game of Thrones, especially Bran stuff. You can be like, oh, then Bran becomes a fucking tree. They'd be like, shut up. You know, I don't want to hear your, like, bullshit, you know, fake spoilers.
Well, technically, like, no, in this season or next season, he's going to have to go inside Hodor's head. That's the shirt I got. And then,
oh, do you guys hope they do, like, an I Love, you know, our, what's that, Genie show?
I Dream of Genie.
Like, they should do it, like, that style, where he's, like, inside the head, and they, like, you know, mask out the thing, and it looks like he's, like, in his brain.
I don't get your reference, but I do not want that.
You know how, like, she goes in the bottle, and, like, it's a weird, like, shot of, like, full bottle, and, but it's gonna be his head. Oh,
okay. I know what you're talking about now. I'm in it.
That's what I want next season. Please.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just looking up Jojen paste things on the internet, and someone is like, okay, what was in that paste? Did Brandy eat Jojen? Please say no. Oh, man.
Hey, guys. Are we supposed to know that Thoros is a red priest?
He might, and they might mention it in season
one. I don't
know
what's happening with that.
I mean, his, like, chainmail had a slight red tinge to it.
Exactly.
He does not look like what I assume. I mean, Melisandre is, like, all red all the time.
Well, at this point, he's not supposed to look like...
Wait, who's Thoros?
The original Thoros.
Who's Thoros in the show?
The bearded...
Or the guy with the...
Yeah. The singing guy with Arya.
With Arya.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, he's supposed to be a little more gaunt and run down. Mostly because he's reanimating Dondarrion over and over again.
He was supposed to be a pudgy originally, and then...
Yeah.
Wait, is Dondarrion in the show?
Well, later. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. Like,
he was in the first season.
They cast a different guy.
Oh. But they did mention him.
Yeah, they show
him. Oh, man.
And then, because Rob made a joke about him, because he calls him Derek Bonbarian or something like that last season.
Shouldn't he, like, show up, like, next episode or soon? Like,
next Arya episode,
So, also, speaking of people, like, that might not come back, like, what's her face? Sweet Robin, but his mom.
Liza.
Liza. Like, she needs to come back, like, next season, right? Or, like, season after? Do you think she's gonna come back?
She'll come back when Sansa goes back.
Yeah.
I know, but do you think, like, they'll keep the same actress or give someone
new? I would assume.
Why not? They can't.
Well, that's the thing, like, these people have lives. I wonder if they're, like, contracted to be like, all right, you're gonna play this character, and by the way, you know, you're gonna get 2 years off, and you need to come back.
Well, no, it's not like they're just spoiling around doing nothing in between. They're like, hey, we're gonna be filming the most popular show.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's take Rask, for instance. He was hoping he was gonna be in season two, and he wasn't, and I'm sure when the job came for him for season three, he was like, fuck, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously they're not paying well if Cersei fucking can't pay her bills.
Guys, I wish you'd never told me that, because now I'm really depressed.
You didn't read that story that I think Thrifty posted because of his wife or something?
Yeah, I tweeted it.
No, I didn't see it, and I'm sad now.
Speaking of...
Guys, divorce. Don't get divorced. Don't get married.
Don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just don't.
That's the worst.
Speaking of weird relationship things, kind of. So, my theory... About the Sansa scene where the Tyrion Shay scene. Maybe it was just we gotta get our Dinklage in the episode. But what if it's setting up, because I think that Sho Shay is very into Tyrion and has been very sympathetic. So when she later betrays him, like, it's gonna be really out of left field. But what if she gets jealous? Like, what if when Tyrion has to marry Sansa, it just, like, drives her crazy, and that's what does it.
I'm not against it, but, like, as a show with, like, strong female characters, do you think they're gonna, like, topple that Jenga tower for just petty female jealousy?
I don't think that. Well, first of all, it's not really petty jealousy when your lover has to marry someone else.
Yeah, but she knows. Well, he constantly tells her, like, we can't be married, we can't do this, we can't do that.
But that has to get to a girl after a while, I would assume.
Okay, this whole, like, Tyrion murdering Shay scene is a little fuzzy to me. Isn't it just that he walks in on her being with Tywin, and then he kills her? Like, what if, like, Tywin was like, hey, you're a pretty, like, girl around here. I'm going to sleep with you. And then she doesn't really have a choice. Like, it's not like... I don't even know if it's
I
like...
I think she's laying in bed wearing the chain of the hand.
Right, and this is after Shay...
She already betrayed Tyrion. She, like, testified against him. This is
At Joffrey's...
And, like, humiliated him.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, they're right.
All sorts of gross
and
stuff.
And she she's like, he made me call him my giant of Lannister, and yeah, like, super embarrassed him. So that... This was just, like, the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I remember. I really need to read book three again. I didn't want to read it again before the season because I wanted to be surprised.
Yeah, but
we
it's
should
hard.
Also talk about what was the shit. There was one guy who like we were like, why does Tywin hate prostitutes so much?
And we couldn't talk about
that. Totally a reason.
There is.
Oh right, it's like something.
No, and, because his dad.
Oh yes,
his dad took up with a prostitute and. Was the mom still alive or did she die?
I don't remember, but... Sure.
Regardless, she, like, basically made a laughing stock out of Tywin's dad, this prostitute that he... Basically was his concubine.
Oh, yeah, she made her a lord or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so the mom was dead, and she, like, walked around in Tywin's mom's, like, jewelry and clothes.
Did not like that.
And that's why Tywin hates horrors, except for apparently Shay.
Yeah, and I guess there's... There's also theories that in season one, when Varys tells Ned that there's like a secret passageway out and that a Hand of the King used it to visit brothels, one of the thoughts is that was Tywin's, was that Tywin had always kind of been that sort of like, you do what you hate. And you have guilt for it.
So he hates himself.
Just because you hate prostitutes don't mean you hate the game or something. I'm not exactly sure what the game is, so.
It's the Game of Thrones.
But that's why Tywin hates prostitutes, but we can't talk about that in the main episode because I feel like that's a super spoiler. Maybe they'll never talk about it.
Well, they
maybe
mention that his dad cripples the house.
Yeah,
that's the thing, like, they could probably, I know, like, Jar Jar was talking about doing, like, another show. Like, what if they just did a show where it was, like, all backstory?
I would love it. I would watch it.
I mean, that would be, like... Actually, that would be kind of like a webisodes kind of thing that they could do.
Well, they've already started talking about Duncan Egg and, like, the Targaryen, which would give you backstory, but... I don't know. Is it the Blackfyre Rebellion? That'd be dope.
That was, guys, that was Invictus Nth who on Twitter who had pointed that out to us. I just wanted to
shout out.
So, my earlier point about, like, Cersei being, like, hating Marjorie and, like, why that is, the whole, like, her visiting that fortune teller thing.
Yeah, man.
And, like, the queen, like, someone prettier than her would come to replace her and stuff.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Do you think they're ever going to touch on that in the show?
Fuck no. Yeah. Zero chance.
Fortune telling, like, storylines like this are always so fucked up because it's always the same thing. It's always like, here's, I'm going to tell you this fortune that's going to be really fucked up and like, you're going to die or whatever. Yeah. And it's always that they fuck themselves over because they know what's going to happen.
Exactly. Because it's like a younger queen, a younger, a brother, all these things. And yet she thinks it's this person or that person. It drives her insane.
So, okay, this is the prophecy. I'm looking at it right now. It's like a summary of it. So, basically, this lady, Maggie the Frog, she predicts that Cersei's marriage and mutual infidelity with the king. She went on to prophesy that Cersei would outlive all her children who would die as kings and queens, and that after everything she had was taken away by a younger and more beautiful queen, the Valonqar, High Valyrian for little brother, would come to end her life. Cersei thinks that's Tyrion, which is why she's gunning for him like the entire time.
Ooh.
But
do we know if she's the older twin?
She is.
Yep.
Oh. They make a joke about Jaime holding on to her ankle on his way.
That's real biblical. I kind of think it's gonna be Jaime, but she obviously thinks it's gonna be
Jaime. Also they've said it could be a younger brother. So it could be anyone that's a younger brother.
Yeah.
Wait, does she have No, it's just Tyrion and Jaime, right? There's no other kids, right?
But he's saying it could have to be her younger brother, just a person a younger brother. Yeah. I think that's a cop-out, I think. I think it's silly, but I don't know. Anyway, that's the motivation for Cersei, like, why is she so paranoid?
It's going to be Benjen Stark, is what I'm saying.
What?
Because he's Daenerys.
What?
AKA Cold Hands.
Oh my god.
Oh, do we think we're gonna see Cold Hands, by the way?
Oh my god, I hadn't even thought about that.
Nick, you mentioned something like that. I'm like, there's no way we're gonna see Cold Hands.
I would love it though.
Wait. I don't know. Who's Cold Hands? I forget.
He's the guy that saves Sam and Gilly.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's gonna happen? Give me my $20 back after I lose my other bet. I bet they're gonna have Ghost pop out and save Sam and Gilly.
What? No way.
I think Ghost is.
They've already fucked the bucket.
Fuck the bucket? Is that a
Ghost
thing?
Is just obviously roaming around all around the wall, like beyond the wall. So
he's so big.
Yeah, I bet $1 million will be.
I want a webisode where it's just Arya's wolf running around with other like regular wolves killing people,
eating humans,
everyone.
Yeah.
The last like, well, okay, not the last, but another spoiler thing that I want to talk about is, guys, we done seen Ramsay Bolton. He was there. Mm-hmm. He was a little servant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, that servant's probably Ramsay doing this fucking test shit.
I'm 100% sure that it is because of the casting. Because I know that dude is Ramsay Bolton.
I didn't know for sure, but I kind of figured.
Yeah. I hope next episode they do just one time say, they call me Reek, go out of here.
Oh my god, I would love it so much. Man, I cannot believe they have this storyline happening.
I hope they come up with more rhymes for Reek.
As many as possible.
They're out of them.
Yeah, there's not any more. But this Bleak, is not this has not come up to book five.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. When you guys are saying, when I was saying that book four plots, I meant book five plots.
Yeah. Yeah. Because this is happening in book three. Like, it's happening, but we don't know about it.
Yeah, because we do get the flashback when him and Theon and Kyra escape the first time.
I don't know. It's crazy. But I can't believe they're doing it this season, but I'm happy about it.
The thing is, like, all this shit starts to run together. Like, book four and five kind of run together.
A lot of reasons.
But all, you know, like, when they don't talk about characters for a whole book, they're still doing stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. When they originally said
that fish barrel for like ten years.
Oh yeah,
he lives there forever.
But when they first talked about book season three, like going away from the book, like I was real worried. But I'm now like, oh okay, I got you. You're just explaining like what the book left out.
Exactly.
So I've actually been really happy with the two episodes we've seen so far.
Me too.
So far, so good.
Spoiler stuff.
Do you guys want to talk about Bran eating Jojen again? Or?
No, you can do that on your own. You know, if you like these crazy theories, you should just get really deep. Wait. Either in the forums on Westeros.org or go on Reddit.
We've also done spoiler casts on the show before.
So. Yeah, if you've read through Dance of Dragons, we have a Dance of Dragons spoiler cast that lasts like three episodes or something ridiculous.
And they're all very long. I get very drunk. Long.
When we get to that season, are we going to do the Dance with Dragons book club afterwards? Because that
was part of that. We're not even going to cover the show. We're just going to put out our...
And you mean in like 5 years whenever this happens?
Yeah. Okay, one last thing. Do you guys think that they're going to get rid of Wilding Tonks for like four seasons when eventually she runs off with Rickon? Or do you think they're just going to keep her and Rickon like with them the whole time?
See, the issue is that people think that Rickon is going to be... another good claim person, a claimant, is that a word?
For the
North, whether it's for the throne, whether it's to be the warden. So part of that is him being lost.
Yeah. He has to stay safe.
Hey, ha! What if they did this? What if the time that he ran away from the road in this episode, he's gone.
He's just gone. He's just hanging out with the wolf the whole time.
Yeah, like episode 7, they show him running and he ends up in Skagos.
Nice.
Yeah. No, oh, I don't know.
Oh, man. I'm so excited. And I'm very excited about Arya and the Hound, like getting, you know, traveling
the
together.
Hond.
So. The Hond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Das Hund. Is that how you say
but
that?
But if you have crackpot theories, be sure to send us emails or to.
We love
tweet us
that.
Or to just really get
if you
it.
Have regular pot theories, send them.
You have regular
if you
pots.
Have pot theories,
send those too.
Don't do drugs; you'll get divorced.
420, no.
Okay, see you guys next week.
All right, see you next week. Bye, everyone. I like to end strong.